I'll be leaving now, Mrs. Burke. I leapt up from the desk at this announcement, knocking my phone on the floor in the process, and hurried out of my office. Yes, Mrs. Woolgar, I said, tugging on my jacket. Have a lovely evening. The secretary stood in the flagstone entry and reached for her coat off the hall stand. The open front door framed a twilight sky behind her as a cool October breeze swirled round our ankles. Bunter, a tortoiseshell cat, sauntered down the staircase, his tail straight as a soldier, apart from the question mark curl at its tip. He settled on the bottom step. You will have a word with them, won't you? I certainly will, I replied. But, I added with as much authority as I could muster under her steely gaze, as I've explained, I don't feel we can ask them to move along just yet. And I believe this connection to the local writing community will be a boon, helping us to build a base of support that will ensure the society's future. Mrs. Woolgar took a lace-edged hanky from her sleeve and polished the brass plate mounted at the door that read, The First Edition Society. And the furniture? I haven't forgotten the furniture, I assured her. I'm terribly sorry they left the chairs in such disarray last week, and the week before. It's only that Trist had shifted things round to act out a scene he'd written with the zombies. Mrs. Woolgar's eyes were veiled as she snapped her handbag closed and brushed an imaginary speck off the lapel of her dress. Yes, well, it's only that we have a great responsibility to maintain a certain calibre and excellent quality here at Middlebank House. Not only because this was Lady Fowling's own residence, and she was held in high esteem here in Bath, and greatly mourned 3 years ago when she died, but also because it sets the standard for her grand endeavour, the society, which she began herself with... I stopped listening, but kept the polite smile plastered on my face, as Mrs. Woolgar continued to tell me my job. I was new to my position as curator at the First Edition Society, an organisation founded and funded by the late Lady Georgiana Fowling. She had turned Middlebank House, her home, into the repository for her lifetime passion, acquiring first editions of the women authors from the golden age of mystery. Her library comprised a vast collection not only from Agatha Christie, Dorothy L. Sayers, and the others, many of the books personally autographed, but also works from suspense author Daphne du Maurier, added to the list for the sole reason that she was one of Lady Fowling's favourites. It may have appeared that I'd made quite an extraordinary leap from my former post, assistant to the assistant curator at the Jane Austen Centre, to my current position of sole curator at the Society, especially as my university degree was in 19th century literature. Never having read a detective story in my life, I knew I needed to prove my worth, if not to the board, then to myself and Glynis Woolgar, a dear friend and personal assistant to Lady Fowling for donkey's years, and who now held the post of society secretary in perpetuum. Mrs. Woolgar was on one side or the other of 60. Closer than that, I could not guess. It was because of her clothes. She dressed as if it were 1935, that great age of mystery writing. The narrow frocks with wide lapels and cinched waists suited her pencil-like physique. Perhaps some women might have added a whimsical flair at the hemline, but not Mrs. Woolgar. Lady Fowling, 94 when she died, had dressed in the same era, if the portrait on the stairs was anything to go by. This is a chance for growth, I said when the secretary had finally run out of steam. And if we do not grow, we stagnate. The society is not in need of funds, Mrs. Woolgar stated, and not for the first time. Lady Fowling's vast fortune notwithstanding, I knew that money was finite. It could be used up or taken away, and then where would we be? I wasn't thinking only of my own financial history. What about her ladyship's lout of a nephew? I'd heard the whole story. He'd received a bequest, a shocking amount of money that I could have lived on for the rest of my life. Yet he continued to look for ways to challenge his aunt's will. Apparently, he wanted the house, too. The First Edition Society be damned.